You'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14, and verse 1. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14, and verse 1. These precious words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples and to us. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And our subject this morning is finding rest, true rest for the heart. Let not your heart be troubled. That is the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ to every single one of us, and what a glorious thing it is. The Christian faith, it must be said from the very outset, is a heart religion. It's a heart religion. The Christian faith is not primarily about what happens outside of you, outside in your environment, in this world. Of course, the Lord is interested in those things, in your affairs, in the issues of life. Yes, of course he is. But fundamentally, principally, essentially, the Christian faith concerns the heart. Not what is going on outside of you, what is going on inside of you. The heart, your inward state, that is what the Christian faith is all about. The heart. Of course, it's not talking literally about our literal heart, our physical heart, our beating heart, as it were, but it's talking about the inner man, the heart of you, the true person within you. Of course, we can all understand this when we say to one another, when a husband says to his wife, or a wife says to his husband, I love you with all my heart. It doesn't mean literally your physical heart, your beating heart with all the arteries and everything. It means I love you with all my emotions, with everything that I am, with my emotions, with my mind, with my will, with all my heart. My whole person loves you with all my heart. The inner man, the person that I truly am. That is what is being spoken of here. Let not your heart be troubled. And this is the Christian faith. The whole person ought to be involved in our faith. We have to ask ourselves right from the outset, when we come to this place, are we coming out of cultural interest or tradition or ritual? Or are we coming because our whole hearts are tied up with this religion, with this faith, with Christ? Our hearts, our innermost person is intimately involved with the Word of God, with the Christian faith. We're coming with all our hearts because we love God. Because we love God. That is why we come into this place. We have to examine ourselves. Let not your heart be troubled. The Christian faith is all about the heart, loving God with all our hearts and knowing the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, knowing that he loves us. That is a great exhortation, something for us to think about very much, even by way of introduction. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, these are words of comfort, because there are many things in this world that trouble us. Many, many things. What troubles you in this world? I'm sure there are many things you can think about, even this morning. You don't need much time to think about what troubles you. Maybe you have troubles on your heart right now. Many things trouble us. Maybe it's something we see in the world around us. We see many wicked things in the world around us. We hear things on the news, we see things on our TV screens. The world, it seems, is in a chaotic state. Crimes, murders, atrocities, all these things. We hear about these things. They trouble us. We are troubled by these things. We live in a very uncertain world. We think politically speaking. Well, last year we had the Brexit vote in this country. And then there was the presidential election in the United States. And nobody knows what's going to happen. Very uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen. I was listening to one former statesman, one former world leader, and he was very worried. He said that it seems the world is heading for war. All the current world leaders seem to be speaking more aggressively, more belligerently. It seems as though the world is heading for war. Well, we don't know. I'm not saying that we are. But this uncertainty, this not knowing, well, it troubles us. Of course it does. We don't know what's going to happen. And of course, there are things, and I'm sure this speaks to us more, things that trouble us on a personal level. Are there things that trouble you? Personal matters? Work matters? Family matters? Of course, we can have great joy in these things, but sadly, we can also be very troubled in these areas. Troubled. And as we considered last week, we can be troubled without anybody knowing we are troubled. We can be very troubled within ourselves. I know somebody who would get very, very angry. Very angry, but you could never tell looking at him. You would think he was a picture of peace, but within himself, he was very troubled. He was very angry. You can be very angry and nobody know. You can be very scared and nobody know, very fearful. You can be very lonely and nobody know. You know, it's possible to feel very lonely even when you're surrounded by people. In a gathering, a family gathering, a social gathering, you can be surrounded by so many people, and yet within yourself, in your heart, you're very lonely. You can't connect with anybody at all. Nobody can see that, but within you, that is your state. Nobody else can see it. Well, I say nobody else, but Christ can see it. Christ could see the hearts of these disciples. Maybe the disciples hadn't articulated to him, "Lord, we are troubled," but he can see that their hearts are troubled. God can see right to the very heart of you. Even if no one else can see your troubles, God can see it. He can see the troubles on every single one of your hearts, even this morning. You can't hide anything from him at all. And not only can he see your troubles, but he can understand your troubles. He can understand them. You know, sometimes we don't like to open up about our troubles. Why don't we like to open up? Because sometimes we think to ourselves, well, even if I did open up, if I told this person what's really on my heart, he wouldn't really understand. She wouldn't really understand what I'm going through. So that's why we just keep it in. What's the point of telling somebody? They're not really going to understand. But well, Christ understands. He understands fully. Not only does he see your heart and all its trouble, he understands. He's the only one who understands truly what you're going through. And just knowing these things is a comfort to us. Christ sees your heart. Christ is concerned. Christ understands the Lord Jesus. He is somebody who loves you, who is concerned about you. And he says here, "Let not your heart be troubled." What a wonderful Savior we have. But the disciples, let us put this into some context. I'm aware I haven't. The disciples, why are they troubled at this point in time? Well, because they know that something bad is going to happen. These words of the Lord Jesus Christ, these are spoken the night before he goes to be crucified. The night before he dies. And the disciples, well, they don't know exactly what's going to happen, but they know it's something bad. They know that they're going to be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has spoken about his death. He's spoken that he's going to go to Jerusalem and there he will die. He's spoken about these things. And so no wonder the disciples are so troubled. They know they're going to be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ through death. And this is why their heart is troubled, very, very troubled indeed. Well, this, of course, is a trouble to all of us. We, each one of us, know that one day we will be separated from one another by death. Of course we will be. Death troubles our hearts. That separation that we shall know. That consideration that we shall be separated from our loved ones. That prospect. One day it will be happening to us. Husbands will be separated from wives by death and vice versa. Parents from their children and vice versa possibly. We will all one day be separated by death. We don't like to think about these things. The very thought troubles us. Nobody wants to speak about death. Oh, I would rather you spoke about something nice, something encouraging. Why don't we want to speak about death? Because it troubles us. It troubles our hearts, just like it troubles the disciples' hearts. Simon Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Don't speak about your death," because it troubled him. And so it troubles us when we think about these things. But well, it will happen one day. We will all be separated from one another by death. And something else that is troubling, well, of course, there's uncertainty. We never know when death will strike. We don't know how long we have left with one another. We think we have many years left with one another. We're all going to be meeting in this church for years on end. That's what we think, but we don't know that for sure. Death could come to any one of us through any number of means. And of course, this troubles us, does it not? It troubles us most severely. Well, this is the conundrum that we have, the thing that is set before us. We're not sure how long we have left, and it's not up to us at all. But the Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled," because he has come to conquer death. That is why he has come. We have this fear of death hanging over us, threatening to separate us from our loved ones, but Christ has come to conquer death. That is why he has come. How is he going to do this? Well, in order to conquer death, he must deal with sin. He must deal with sin. Sin, after all, is the reason why death is in the world. That is why death is in the world. Sin has come into the world. We think right back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Well, Adam had that great commandment, "Do not eat from the forbidden tree." The day you eat of that tree, death will enter into the world. He was told that very clearly by God. So he had a choice. Either he obeyed God and he lived, or he disobeyed God and died. Well, very sadly, very tragically, he disobeyed God. And death came into this world. Death with all its misery and all its sorrow, not just to Adam, but to all his descendants. This is why death is in the world. This is the only satisfactory explanation. Evolutionists, the world, cannot give a satisfactory explanation for death. It's because we as a race, because Adam, our father, if you like, turned away from God, disobeyed him, and brought death into the world, and sin into the world. We shall all die, and we are all sinners. We are all sinners. And may I suggest to you this morning that actually the greatest thing that troubles us in our lives is sin. It's not necessarily death, it's sin. Sin which is the cause of death. That is what troubles us the most, our sins, the things that we have done wrong in our lives. That's what troubles our consciences. That's what keeps us awake at night, the things that we have done that have offended God. Now, I remember many years ago, a relative of mine passed away. He wasn't a close relative, but, I knew him. I spoke to him many times, and he passed away very suddenly. Very suddenly. And well, what affected me most at the time was not the fact that he had died, but the fact that I had been at times selfish to him. I had been at times hostile to him. I hadn't been very kind to him. I didn't even really know him. I hadn't taken the time to get to know him because I was so selfish. There had been times when I had argued with him needlessly. There had been times when I almost hated him in my heart. That was what troubled me the most. It was not the fact that he had passed away so much. It was my sin against him. I didn't like him as much as I should have done. I didn't love him as much as I should have done. I didn't take the time to get to know him as much as I should have done. It was my sin that increased my grief. It wasn't his passing. It was my sin. You know, it's our sin that troubles us the most. When we come to die, when we are on our deathbed, it won't be the sins that other people have done to us that will give us the most grief. It will be the things that you've done to others. Your own sins that will trouble you the most. It's sin that troubles our hearts. And well, I remember that incident well, and it was one of the reasons that I came to seek the Lord. But let's continue with these words. Let not your heart be troubled. And Christ continues, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Ye believe in God, he says. Now, this doesn't just mean that you believe that God exists. That doesn't save you. If you just believe that God exists, we read in the Bible that the devils believe that God exists, and they, of course, will not be saved. But when he says you believe in God, well, he's asking them to believe in what God has revealed to you, in what God has said to you, the promises of God. What has God promised to us? Well, God has promised right throughout the scriptures, throughout the Old Testament, that a Savior would come into the world, somebody who would come and save us from all our sorrows, from death, from hell. That is what God has promised. When the Lord Jesus Christ says, believe in God, don't just believe that he exists, but believe in what he says, what he has promised. Are you looking for that? What God has said, are you looking for a Savior? Do you believe in God that he will send this Savior? That is what it means. Do you believe that God is a holy God? Do you believe in God in the right way? Do you have the right idea of him? God is holy. God hates sin, will not tolerate sin. God dwells in heaven, a holy place, and he will not allow any sin to enter into that holy place. No sin at all, because he is holy and heaven is holy. So when we think that we are all sinners, how are we going to enter into heaven? We are full of sin, sin that troubles our conscience and our hearts. How are we going to get into heaven when we stand before God, a holy God? How is he going to accept us into heaven? Does that not trouble you? That ought to trouble you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you stand before God, you have no hope of going to heaven. You have no hope at all. That ought to trouble you very much if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what happens if you don't go to heaven? Well, you're going to be sent to an eternal place of banishment. A place of sorrow, a place of torment, a place where your heart will always be troubled. In this life, our hearts are troubled, but then sometimes we can have times of joy. But in hell, your heart will always be troubled. There'll always be sorrow. There'll always be anguish and torment. That should trouble you very much if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if there's no hope of salvation. A place where your heart is always troubled. That's the alternative. But that is why Christ has come. If you are in that state this morning, dear friends, you ought to cry out to Christ. You ought to cry out, "What must I do to be saved from that eternal place of sorrow? What must I do to be saved?" And well, the answer is given in this verse and in many other places. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what you must do to be saved. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, not just that he existed. Not just, "Oh, I believe there was a Lord Jesus Christ and he did some great miracles." Not just that he was definitely there, but that he came for a reason. And that reason was to make a way of forgiveness for our sin, to take upon himself the punishment for our sin. When he went to the cross, he was going as our substitute, our scapegoat, in our place. He was being punished for us. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in that way? That's the right way to believe on him. Believe on him that he has made full atonement for all your sin. You must believe in Christ as your Savior, your Savior. First and foremost. Well, these are such important things, but I must move on. Let's look just very briefly at the following verses. The words of the Lord Jesus in verse 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Well, he's speaking about heaven. In my Father's house. We sung about this in Psalm 23. "In my Father's house in heaven are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." What a tremendous thought that Christ is preparing a place for us. When I was younger, and we knew that we had relatives coming round to stay, well, you always had to prepare the house. Your mother would always say to you, "Come, we've got to sort out the spare room. We've got to bring out the sofa bed. We've got to tidy up the house. There are people coming. We've got to prepare. We can't just sit down like we normally do and watch TV. We have to prepare the place. There are people coming. We're expecting people. We're anticipating people." And that is what Christ is doing in heaven. Christ is anticipating all of his people coming to be with him. Well, again, I have to ask you, is Christ anticipating you? Is he waiting for you? Have you told him you're coming? Or have you not spoken to him at all? You've never sought him. You've never found him. You've never come to him as a sinner. You've never confessed your sin. "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve heaven, but I know that Christ has suffered and died to take the punishment for my sin. And I trust in Christ. I believe on him with all my heart. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming to be with you in heaven." Have you said these things to him? If he doesn't know you're coming, there won't be a place for you in heaven. How can he prepare a place for someone he doesn't know is coming? Someone who's never asked him, "Can I enter into the kingdom?" He's not preparing a place for you. You'll be eternally homeless. You have to ask the Lord, "Lord, forgive me all my sin." There are many mansions, many dwelling places. That is saying that Christ will never turn anybody away who trusts in him. It's an open invitation. There's always room for a repentant sinner. Always room if you come and ask for forgiveness. These are glorious words. And then in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Christ is coming again. That's the great promise. I will come again. And well, we know that there will be that new heaven and that new earth that comes with him. That new heaven and that new earth, well, we read about it in the book of Revelation, a place where our hearts will never be troubled. There'll be no death, no sin, no sorrow at all. We will be reconciled to God forever, never separated from God. This is why our hearts are so at peace. This is where our hearts are at if we are true Christians. This is where our hearts are, where our hearts are not in this world. When we are truly saved, our hearts are looking to heaven. We know that we're just passing through this world, and we have assurance that we will be in that eternal place. That place that is so wonderful. That is why we are so at peace. And well, just to prepare our hearts, I don't normally do this, but let's just turn to hymn number 301 that we shall sing in a few moments. Hymn number 301, and end on these thoughts. This sums up the coming of our Lord and Saviour and how every Christian is waiting for that day. He's not fixed in this world. Hymn number 301. Let's just read this first verse. I am waiting for the dawning of the bright and blessed day, when the darksome night of sorrow shall have vanished far away. Gone is this world of tribulation. When forever with the Saviour, far beyond this veil of tears, I shall swell the song of worship through the everlasting years. This is why the heart of a Christian is never troubled, because we know where we're going, and we shall sing forever in that new heaven and that new earth, far beyond this veil of tears. Yes, in this world we will shed tears, we will know sorrow, but well, we will be far away from it when Christ comes. Well, is this your hope? You can only know these things if you truly trust in Christ. Come to Christ. Tell him, I trust in your salvation. I trust in your atonement. I'm coming to be with you forever, Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Father in heaven, O Lord, we thank thee for the words of promise that are found in thy word. Let not your heart be troubled. O Lord, we know that we can only find true peace if we trust in Christ, if we trust in him wholly and fully. Lord, may we trust in him. May we be found in him. May we be saved by him. Lord, we ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.